You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to raise up Christ followers in our families and in our communities. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live out your faith in all that you do.
I have two friends who I can count on to remind me of something extremely important, something that we just sang about, something that Casey talked to the kids about. The name of my first friend is Deb. Her husband called her Debbie. You might have known him. Pastor Dan Hoyer was his name. He was a mentor, a shepherd, a friend. My pastor, who welcomed me with open arms from the first day that I stepped foot in Trinity almost 8 years ago already. The name of my second friend is Steve. Steve and I played basketball together in college back in the late 80s. That seems like a long time ago. After graduating, we both ended up in Lutheran schools in Southern California. And after 3 years, we came together again. And we became best friends. We coached together. We taught together. This was in South Central Los Angeles, a school that no longer exists, South Bay Lutheran High School. Both of my friends, Deb and Steve, they use a saying. Through thick or thin, they use a saying that we've already talked about today. God is good. All the time. God is good. Now, it's one thing to say God is good when things are going well, right? It's quite another to say God is good when there's pain and there's suffering in our lives. As most of you here this morning know, Deb and Dan's last 8 or 9 years together were full of pain and full of suffering. But still, they always said, God is good. All the time, God is good. A month or so before cancer finally took Dan to be with Jesus, some friends made a shirt. The front of that shirt looked like this. Heal cancer, for nothing is impossible with God. And the back of the shirt looked like this. And even if not, God is still good. Really? Here's Steve's story. My other God is good friend. Steve now lives in the Houston, Texas area. He was a faithful Lutheran coach and teacher and administrator at Trinity Klein in the Houston area. It's in Spring, Texas. Every year that Steve coached his junior high, 7th and 8th grade basketball team, they always qualified for the national tournament in Valparaiso, the same national tournament that our girls just qualified for. It's a big deal. But in 2017, as Steve was at the peak of his Lutheran education and coaching and administrative career, he couldn't breathe. He had developed an acute autoimmune disease called Wegener's disease. Out of the blue, blood vessels and tissues in his entire respiratory system had become inflamed to the point that Steve was unable to breathe. His entire respiratory system was just filled with mucus. And his life was changed forever. Two days ago, I talked to Steve. He was getting ready for his 109th bronchoscopy. Has anyone ever had a bronchoscopy? They're not fun. They shove equipment and cameras down your throat. And the first thing that they do for Steve is they do a power wash. A power wash of his lungs, a power wash of all of his whole respiratory system. Sometimes they have to put a stent in his trachea. Sometimes not, but most of the time a stent to keep the airway open. It's a pretty hard deal, isn't it? It takes Steve an entire morning just to survive another day. Four albuterol nebulizer treatments, each taking 30 minutes. Three Aflovest treatments a day that also take 30 minutes each. If you're wondering what that is, it's a vest that you put on that pounds your lungs, pounds your chest to hopefully break up that mucus that's hardening so that at some point he might be able to hack it up and actually be able to breathe. 28 days on, 28 days off, another kind of nebulizer that also takes 30 minutes a day, three times a day. So all in all, 4 to 5, sometimes 6 hours a day are only used for therapy so that he can breathe and he can function just a little bit. All of the cartilage in his nose has been taken by this disease. God is good. Really? What kind of God causes two of his faithful children to suffer so? Two of his faithful servants. Brothers and sisters, the lies of Satan, the lies of this world, and the lies of our fleshly existence will tell you that God is evil. God is not good. It's God's fault that Deb and Dan and Steve suffer. But we have a living, breathing Word of God. I hold it in my hands, and this has an entirely different message. God's Word paints a completely different picture. The psalm we read this morning, Psalm 19, it's about the goodness of God. Psalms can be kind of hard to understand, can't they? So as I read that psalm to you today, most of you are probably going, "What is this saying?" And you may or may not have been thinking, well, it's about the goodness of God. But it is about the goodness of God. The first 6 verses of this psalm tell us that creation declares God is good. Creation declares God is good. Let's take a look. The heavens declare the glory of God. Just looking at them. There is God's glory. There is His goodness. And the sky above proclaims His handiwork. Day to day pours out speech. His creation speaks to us, doesn't it? The amazing, amazing creation, the perfect creation, speaks to us. At night and night reveals knowledge. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun. David is going to continue to talk to us about the sun and the amazingness of just the sun alone. The sun which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber. Can you imagine someone about 23 or 24 years old, prime of their life? Their hair is perfect on that wedding day, right? Nice shave. If they have a beard, it's trimmed up nice. They're dressed in their best. They've probably gotten in shape for their wedding, so they look good. It's the best you'll ever look, am I right? This is the picture that David is helping us see the goodness of God through his creation. And he's just talking about the sun. And like a strong man runs its course with joy. Have you ever watched someone who loves running? They run and they have a smile on their face. Casey, its rising is from the end of the heavens and its circuit to the end of them. And there is nothing hidden from its heat. The sun alone proclaims the goodness of God. So when God created the world, each day he would see a new part of his perfect creation. Think back to Genesis now. And after day one, he said, and God saw that it was what? Good. And after the sixth day, God said, it's not just good, it's very good. But then Satan entered the picture. Then sin entered the picture, and it changed everything. Satan and sin changed everything. This perfect, very good creation was now cursed. Pain, suffering, sorrow, death. Because man lived by the voice of Satan, not by the voice of God. And sin would now be part of our very nature. Cursed, yes, but not without a salvation plan. Our good and gracious God put a plan in motion early on after sin. A God who protected his people with the law. A law given to his people as a protective hedge. A protective hedge from the darkness that had entered the world. At one point, the world had become so evil and so corrupt that God nearly destroyed everything and everyone, except for one family, the faithful family of Noah. And when Noah's family multiplied and spread around the earth, started happening again. And God knew that he needed to give his people the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments that you are familiar with. So verses 7 to 11 are about God's goodness again. God declaring that the law is good. Let's take a look at verses 7 to 11. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter than honey, and drippings of the honeycomb. Perfect, sure, right, pure, clean, true, righteous, sweeter than honey. That's a lot of goodness. Goodness coming from the law, the hedge that God put around his people. We are now his people. These are the words used to describe how God's law is declared as good. Yes, even the law is good, but it doesn't end there, my friends. In verses 12 to 13, it gets even better, or maybe I should say it gets even gooder. No. In these verses, God declares that I am good. He declares that you are good. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent and hidden from faults. Who can do this? Who can keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins? Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Really? Blameless? Innocent from great transgression? But how? Doesn't Paul tell us in Romans that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God? Doesn't Paul tell us also in Romans that the wages of sin is death? Yes and yes. But, and I'm talking about a big but with one T, Paul isn't done in verse 23. God's goodness comes shining through for all to hear and all to see. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. That, my friends, is the goodness of God. God showed his love for us, his goodness for us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for you and he died for me. You see, God is good. It's why Deb can still say that God is good. It's why Steve can still say God is good. God is so good that he sent his son into this dark world to die for you, to rise again for you, so that you might be saved, you might be rescued from the evils that Satan brought into this world. Our good and gracious God loves you, my friends. After all, we are made in his image. He cries with you. He laughs with you. He suffers with you. Every one of us here this morning is going to suffer and die unless Jesus comes back first. That's a fact, Jack. Every believer sitting here this evening or this morning will experience the goodness of God. Why? Because you are a redeemed child of God. David knew what was coming for him. David knew what was coming for us. Redemption. The last verse of Psalm 19. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The Lord is Deb's rock and her redeemer. The Lord is Steve's rock and his redeemer. And yes, the Lord is your rock and your redeemer. God is good all the time. God is good in the name of Jesus.